Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, welcome to Jewel Says. I'm Julie, Jewel's grandmother. It's May already. At the end of the month, Andrew Johnston, comedian extraordinaire based in LA, is coming to stay with us. He stays with us when he has some gigs booked in Toronto. But this time, Andrew might have a musical gig while he's here. There's an organization called Cool Kids, CEOLKIDS.com. I never heard of this until Andrew told me about them. They're doing a concert in Toronto, just down the street from us at the Axis Club in Toronto. They're doing a concert, which is a fundraiser for the Community Music Schools of Toronto. This is a fantastic organization whose goal is to make sure that every child has access to an excellent music education. I think it's so important. I always talk about the children, how important these things are. They need sports, they need art, they need music, they need whatever their passion is. They need to figure it out and have access to that when they're young. I think this type of thing is one of the best things we can do as a society to prevent frustrated, demotivated adults who are unproductive and in pain and destructive. We all need a community and we all need an outlet. Please let's start when they're young. I have already donated to this, but even though the concert is not until June 2nd, which seems like a long way off, it's not. The donations are only open now for another couple of days. When did the donations close? Okay, donations, if you're listening to this Thursday, you've basically got a day and a half to donate. So I recommend that you go to CEOLKIDS.com and donate. Here's how it works. This is the other interesting thing. They have live performers. People have submitted songs that they want to sing. So your donation goes toward a song that, if you were going to go to the concert, which I am, you would like to hear the band or the musicians perform. And only the top 25 actually get to perform at the June 2nd concert. I plan on seeing Andrew Johnston perform Life is a Highway, so that is why I have donated to that, because right now, Life is a Highway is number 16 on the list, and it's a slippery slope in the next 2 days. We need to make sure that song stays in the top 25, even if you're not there. And of course, most of you are not going to be able to go to this, but you'll know that your donation, regardless of the song you choose, will be going to a very good cause. It's all about the children. So I'm looking forward to seeing Andrew. He'll be here. I think he arrives May 30th and the show is June 2nd, so it's a bit toyed. The other thing that's on this week is the Hot Docs Film Festival. Hot Docs meaning documentary. I had a volunteer shift Sunday night at one of the theaters, but it was a cinema that has regular shows as well as some of the documentaries showing for the festival. The documentary screenings for the festival are at all kinds of different venues. There are too many to just have them at one venue. People approached me and said, what's playing in that theater? And I'd say, it's part of the Hot Dogs Festival. It's whatever the film is. And one of the guys says, hot dogs? There's a festival for hot dogs? And I said, no, hot docs, as in documentaries. And this one lady who was helping, she was one of the stage managers, she said, you know, I suggested that we have a hot dog stand outside to bring people into the Hot Dogs Theater. And I'm like, that's not a bad idea. Although downtown there are all kinds of street vendors, might be hard to get the permit. I think that instead of wearing these red t-shirts, we should be allowed to dress in like a doctor lab coat. And we could greet the people by saying, well, hello, welcome to Hot Dogs. Are you ready to be scanned? And then you scan them, bloop, scan accepted. You may now enter. But a lot of the volunteers would probably be opposed to that. Anyway, one of the things I didn't realize was that you need a minimum of 4 shifts to volunteer for these festivals, which I get. Having too many people is a lot of administrative overhead. Plus, there's a cost. They give everyone a t-shirt. I'm not a fan of free t-shirts. I don't want them. I don't really like them. I don't think they look good. But you do want everyone to obviously be a volunteer. So I get that you have to have a uniform, and t-shirts are cheaper than lab coats, so okay. But there's a cost to that. And also they give you name tags, and they give you a free voucher for every shift that you cover so that you can see another film. And if you can't make it to this festival, you can see another documentary at the Ted Rogers Hot Docs Theater, the one that's not too far from me. It's within walking distance. When we moved here, I was so excited when I realized we had an actual theater that specializes in documentary film screenings. I love documentaries. I've taken a documentary filmmaking course at Raindance. I just love to watch documentaries. And of course, it wasn't that long ago that you really couldn't screen documentaries all the time like you can now. Now they're just more readily available. But there's something nice about going to a theater. They have fabulous popcorn at the Ted Rogers Hot Docs Theater. I love it. So I always said, when I'm not working out of town, when I have more time, I'm going to volunteer for these festivals. Not just because I want to see the films, but I also like to help out. But this year, I'm working for a client whose business hours are on mountain time. So that means I don't finish work till 6 or 7 p.m. at the earliest. I mean, sometimes I can finish earlier, but I can't guarantee that I'll be able to finish earlier. So I only signed up for 1 shift. And then they emailed me, you have to have a minimum of 4 shifts. So I dropped that shift. But then the lady emailed me back and said, hey, if you're comfortable using a computer, maybe you'd like to volunteer for the registration office. Okay. So on Saturday, I did a double shift at the registration office. And then I did a shift on Sunday before I went to do the shift helping usher at the theater. I could not believe how much I loved working in that office. It was great. You're not dealing with hundreds and hundreds of customers. You're just dealing with other volunteers who show up to register. All you have to do is check they've had their training, check they have 4 shifts, give them their t-shirt, give them their badge, and Bob's your uncle. It was so much fun. And everyone else who worked on that shift was fabulous. We chatted, we laughed, we shared podcast recommendations, we shared film recommendations. It was just a great couple of days. I loved it, so I will do it again. A lot of these volunteers also do the festival circuit. They volunteer for Fringe, which I have done and I'm going to do again. They volunteer for TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival. I never go to TIFF. I have gone to an occasional TIFF film that appeals to me. Usually, though, because I'm not a member, I'm unable to get tickets. I tried to get tickets to Catelyn Moran's How to Build a Girl. Couldn't get them. Sold out. Very disappointing. But I don't really have much interest in going to TIFF because I don't like crowds. And people really crowd around the area for that festival because they're hoping to see famous people. I'm not that interested in seeing famous people. As a matter of fact, I prefer not to see famous people. Because for me, I kind of feel like it's a reminder of what a loser I am, if that makes sense. Maybe that sounds insane, but that is kind of how I feel about it. I don't feel excited to see famous people. Maybe it's because I gave birth to and raised a famous person, although she wasn't always famous, and I didn't feel that way then. And I'll tell you what I don't like about her being famous is she says one little thing that isn't glowingly positive and kind of funny. I mean, Catherine took the family to Diggerland, and I'm sure you've seen it. Why would you be listening to me if you don't already follow her? She just talked a little about how the girl refused to let Fred on a ride because she thought he wasn't tall enough and he wasn't cooperating with being measured with a pole. The tabloids pick up on that, and I couldn't believe it. I have her on Google Alerts, and I see all these headlines, which I did not click on and read. Catherine Ryan slams Diggerland. Catherine Ryan not happy and left enraged and all this stuff. I'm like, oh my God, she didn't slam anybody. But Jamila Jamil is right when she says this is actually how the media just likes to portray women. But hot dogs, I love it. I love the festival. I go to documentaries there and volunteer year round. Oh, the other thing is, this coming weekend, as part of the Hot Docs Festival, they have a podcast festival, but I'm not going to be able to make it because I will be in Kitchener at Center by the Square with my dear friend Terry Perrin to see choir, and sing a bunch of Queen songs with the audience. I can't wait. But I am going to miss the podcast festival, so there's that. And the only film I've seen so far at this festival, because work is getting in the way of my life, I'm happy I have a job, I appreciate that I'm employable. But then there are times I think, damn it, I don't have enough time. But you know what? It's a trade-off. You either have the time and no money, or you're making some money and you have no time. So that's where I am right now. But I did see Love to Love You, which was a documentary about Donna Summer. And Donna Summer's daughter, Brooklyn, was there. Oh my God, such a gorgeous girl. And apparently one of her sisters is a singer. I don't know if it's Mimi or Amanda. I think it might be Amanda. I forget. Anyway, it was great because Brooklyn is one of the producers of the film. And she came out and did a Q&A and everything. I really loved that. And I don't know how many films they have. I think 200 and something films get chosen out of 2,000 or something entrants. I have no idea. A friend of my daughter, Joanne, Ravi Srinivasan, who at one time was an international programmer at Hot Docs, he started at TIFF in September, he passed away in January suddenly, which, I mean, I can't even, it's just tragic. He was only 37 years old. I attended a memorial screening of a film he loved last week. But I thought with the Hot Docs Festival on this week, it might be nice to just get in touch with Joanne and reminisce about teenage Ravi. Here's my call with Joanne.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, Joanne. Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for including me.
Well, as you know, Ravi died suddenly this January, but he's been on my mind these last couple of weeks, in particular because I think I told you I went to a free memorial screening of one of his favorite documentaries.
Yes.
At the Ted Rogers Hot Dogs Theater. That was just last Sunday. And then this week I've been volunteering because this week is the Hot Dogs Festival. So last week, this film, I wasn't sure what to expect, but it turned out to be a documentary about British Tamil rapper and activist Matang Maya, known as MIA. Have you ever heard of her?
No.
Well, if you heard some of her music, I think you'd know. But before the film, a few people talked about Ravi, and it was really, it was emotional. It's not like I've even seen Ravi since you guys were kids, but they talked about recent Ravi, his work on film festivals, his work with Hot Docs. He was apparently instrumental in choosing a lot of the films.
Oh, yes. He was a big player in that. And then he had founded, if I'm not mistaken, the Sarnia
film festival. SWIFF, Southwestern International Film Festival.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't even aware of. You know, it's amazing how people do these things. And he pretty much lived down the street from me. And I knew he was here and I kind of knew he was doing that stuff, but I didn't really think about it. But of course, all of this in this last couple of weeks made me think about it. Oh, and people were talking about how much fun he was and about the parties he had. Apparently, they were epic. And they used to call his
yes, they were.
They used to call his place the bathhouse. They called it that because it's on Bathurst.
Well, and do you remember when he would do every summer in Sarnia, he rented this mini yacht?
No.
It was like to get invited to this party was like it was a big deal. And this was when we were in our early 20s. So it was called Ravi's Booze Cruise.
Really?
Well, it was initially called Ravi, back in the day of Facebook events, you know, I'm talking summer of 2007 here. The initial one, if I'm not mistaken, was called Ravi's Poop Your Pants Booze Cruise. And he had to change the name eventually to Ravi's Booze Cruise because the moniker Ravi's Poop Your Pants Booze Cruise just sort of had this connotation of young people being overserved on water, no less.
Yeah. And you guys were in your 20s. So I mean,
oh, barely. We were like, I was 20 when I went to the first one. Yeah.
See, I didn't even know how much you stayed in touch after high school, but I was really glad I went to this thing because I, even though I haven't seen him in years, it just felt really nice to hear these people talk about him and hear all this wonderful stuff about him. He was a big deal. And I know it's sad when anyone dies. Obviously, the people who love them will miss them. But oh my God, a person your age, a friend of yours, so ridiculously young. It just really hits home.
And he really was a big deal. And I know that once someone passes, especially when they're so young, everyone sort of comes together, but he really was a big deal. He was our class prime minister at St. Pat's, and just everybody knew him. Everybody loved him that I know of. He had the most infectious laugh. And unfortunately, he brought so much joy to so many people, but he was surrounded by so much heartache. Like that group of friends from St. Pat's has actually seen a number of friends pass away in the last decade. And then, of course, Ravi lost his dad when he was 2, and he lost his mom when he was barely 18. And so I just can't imagine what his brother Harry and his family are going through. It's unfathomable. It's unfair. The family was already in the unfair stage when they lost their dad, when the boys were only, I think, 14 and 2 years old, respectively. But to have lost their mom and now the baby brother, it doesn't make sense to me.
No, it's awful. And his mom worked at Nova, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was in the lab. I didn't meet her personally because I was in IT and she was in the lab. But I don't know why. I always remembered her. And then when I met Ravi through you, it stuck with me. But you don't know who MIA is. Apparently, Ravi was a big fan. One of the things they showed at the film, well, before the film, was pictures of him. He had MIA sweatshirts and merch made. This picture of him on stage with her with this great big smile. Well, he had the smile all the time anyway. But apparently that was a really, really special moment for him. This woman is amazing, too. I mean, I don't want to get off the topic of Ravi, except for this is the film they showed at his free memorial. What a force of nature that woman is. I had no idea. One of her songs is called Paper Planes. When we're done, just look it up and listen to it. It's one of the songs on my playlist. I didn't even know who she was. I just liked that song. And until I saw this film, I didn't have any concept of who the artist was. And this song is very, you know how Pink, I'm not comparing it to Pink Floyd because she's a rapper, but you know how they have the sound of the money, and then this has the sound of gunshots and money, and it's very rhythmic, but it plays a lot when Carrie is over playing games with Alan, and she does a fembot move. And when you hear the song, you're going to be able to picture her doing that, pow, 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 the fembot move.
I must know her, even the song. Did you say Paper Planes? Sounds really familiar.
You'll know her. You'll know her.
But Ravi, even at 14 years old, was one to discover interesting music that nobody had listened to yet.
Yeah.
He was always that way.
And he was that way with films, apparently, too. Like, he just seemed to know everything about film. He ended up being an international programmer for Hot Docs, the senior manager of festival programming at TIFF. Anyway, I went to this memorial, and then this week I'm doing my little volunteer thing at Hot Docs. So this is festival week at Hot Docs. So I thought it was timely that we chat and reminisce about Ravi from back in the day.
Yeah.
How did you meet him?
Well, actually, high school starts in grade 9 in southwestern Ontario. And when I was in grade 8, our friend Luke Mate was performing in this sort of like acoustic St. Pat's kind of music night. And Catherine was performing something at Northern, or she had something going on. So she sent me and Carrie to go film Luke Mate's set. And my friend Megan Slater and Colleen Lepore were singing in it as well. And then Ravi, who was in grade 9 at this point, so I was in grade 8, and I remember seeing him on stage rapping, singing with Colleen Lepore and Megan Slater. And I just remember thinking he was so cool. And that's how everybody thought when they saw Ravi. He just emitted so much energy. And so I knew of him from then. And then when I started at St. Pat's the following year, I was in grade 9, he was in grade 10. And we were both in the high school musical, which was Godspell. And that was a really small cast. And so we all became super close. And it was actually so strange. It was so strange that people might not even believe this, but I was driving home from the ski hill and I had the Broadway HD Sirius radio on because I'm a musical theater nerd. And the song Light of the World from Godspell came on. And usually when a Godspell song comes on the radio, it's Day by Day or it's something else. Yeah. Light of the World is not the usual Godspell song that they put on the radio. And that was actually Ravi's big number solo when we were in it back in 2001. And I remember it made me smile and think, oh, that's Ravi's song. And then it was the following morning that my best friend Christina called me, and she and I text constantly. And so for her to call me was very strange. I knew that something was wrong. And she wanted to call me as early as possible to let me know so that I wouldn't happen upon the news on social media that Ravi had passed.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But was he a good rapper and a good singer when you first saw him perform? Or was it just the smile and the charisma?
Well, I think it was mostly the smile and the charisma. He definitely had stage presence. And I think for a 14-year-old, he was really good. Absolutely. I don't think he ever wanted to make a career out of that. But yeah, and he had a lot of charisma on stage. He was always doing the high school musicals and he was fun and funny, but he was never goofing off or trying to upstage anyone. Like, it was always in good taste.
Yeah, yeah. Did you, you must have gone to parties and stuff with him too. Did you ever have like an actual crush on him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We were crushing on each other during Godspell. I now know in 2023 that the young kids today call it the talking phase. So Ravi and I were really, really into each other, but we never moved past the talking stage because we were just really young and we really liked each other, but we weren't really in a position to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. So yeah, I think everyone at the school or in that crowd knew that we had a mutual crush on each other, but we didn't have the language for this back in 2001, but in 2023, you would say we never moved past the talking stage.
I did not know about that expression, but I have to say, and the reason I asked you is because I had a feeling too, because you used to talk about him and you'd laugh and you'd laugh. And the way to my heart is make me laugh. And I think way to your heart is make me laugh or make me sing. So, you know, I had a feeling, but I never came right out and asked until now. So there we have the tea so many years later. And he was in other shows with you. Wasn't he in South Pacific?
He was in South Pacific.
Because I remember him in South Pacific. He had one line in particular that I will never forget to this day. And I think it was him. Do you remember?
Was it going camping, Captain?
It was pitching a tent, Captain.
It was going camping, Captain, because pitching a tent would have been too obvious. Ravi,
no, I think one night he said, no, but I think one night he said the line pitching a tent because I was in the audience and I just cracked up.
Yeah. And that line is not in the script. And there was another moment in South Pacific. You're going to have to cut this for time. I'm getting into all these funny stories.
No, I want the funny stories.
Well, this was an example of, yeah, he would do funny things like that, but he did it in a classy way as far as theater people are concerned. If he improvised or added something to the scene, he did it early on in the rehearsal phase and it would get approved by a director and then it would get these big laughs every night. And he was consistent. So yeah, he did kind of goof off a little bit, but he did it very tastefully. And there was our first rehearsal on stage for South Pacific. So this is 2002. And it's our first rehearsal on stage with props and with costumes. And the Seabees, the male chorus, has just finished the show-stopping number, There Ain't Nothing Like a Dame. And what happens is Dan Weiss, one of the Seabees, runs across the apron of the stage saying, like, the captain's coming, the captain's coming. So everybody stands at attention, like, okay, everybody stop goofing off. And everybody panics. That's what they've been directed to do. They panic, like, oh, everybody, the boss is coming. Look like you're being productive. Stand at attention. Do something. Do something. And as we are rehearsing for the very first time with props, Ravi instinctively, his character just takes a nearby bucket and just puts it on over his head.
Oh, I remember that. Didn't he do that in the show too?
He did do it in the show. It got set to the show. And so everyone's standing at attention as the captain arrives. The captain was played by Joe Stacer, and Joe Stacer played it off really well, where he slowly sauntered up to Ravi, lifted up the bucket, put the bucket back down, and kept on with his inspection while everybody managed to keep a straight face. And so we got notes at the end of that rehearsal with Ravi, keep the bucket. And this bucket scene just was woven into the show. And that's almost that little story is how I would describe Ravi. Like, he was just always able to add on to the situation tastefully. And everyone around him was like, yeah, let's do that.
He must have been fun at parties and things too. You must have had cast parties and...
Yeah, he was really fun. He did really great impressions of everybody, and whether you wanted him to or not. And he's known for his big infectious laugh.
Mm-hmm. Did he do impressions of you?
Not to my face, not that I know of. I don't know.
Oh, did he usually do impressions behind people's backs?
No, I don't think so. No, it was he usually did it to the people that he was really close to.
Right. So it was like the other guys.
Or girls.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, yeah. He was really fun at parties and everybody hung out with him in all different grades. Like, he was just really well loved all around.
Yeah. Anything else you want to share?
I might have a recording of his famous laugh.
Really?
Well, our really old theater friend, Liz Dua, had shared it. And I couldn't help but screen grab it. So I have it here.
Did she share it on social media or did she just?
Yes. Yeah, she shared it on social media. And she was probably one of his oldest friends who consistently remained friends with him because they lived in town together. They spent a lot of time together. So he was really important to a lot of people, but she definitely stands out to me as his lifer friend who was always there in proximity in every way. So she had been sharing lots of things of his. So I do have a clip of a recording of his amazing laugh. So I'm sad for myself having lost Ravi, but you know, I hadn't physically hung out with him in about 10 years and we still would comment on each other's social media and like, oh, that looks fun. You look great. But you know, just really here and there. But Liz, unfortunately, shortly after Ravi passed, and nobody knows why, but her Instagram was just inexplicably deleted. And so she has lost exchanges between them, messages, photos, everything.
Oh no.
Well, she's lost him, first of all. And then a month later, she loses all of her digital imprints of him. Yeah,
the digital memories. We definitely count on those now.
Yeah. So I hope she's been able to at least keep whatever would have been saved into her phone.
I hope so too.
But I did manage to snag this Ravi laugh. I will play it for you right now, or you will be editing it in. But let's see if it works. Okay. Did you hear that?
No, I couldn't hear it. You're going to have to send it to me.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
You'll love it.
Yeah, and, please send it.
And Liz Dua had captioned this quick little sound, literally the best sound in the world. And I think everybody who knew Ravi would agree with that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you sharing that. And I think the people who knew Ravi, but not as a teen, will appreciate hearing a little bit about teen Ravi from one of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Jo.
Thank you for calling.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening. Jewel Says is produced, written, recorded, edited, and mastered by me, Jules. This week, I'm signing off with Ravi's laugh. Thank you, Joanne.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.